And welcome to the T2 Hubcast with me, Tracy Roberts.
And me, Spencer Locker.
And we are looking forward to talking to you today about a bit of an interesting subject.
As
always, all our subjects are interesting.
Yes.
But this one is really interesting.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the Comeback Chronicles. Sounds like a Christmas cake, doesn't it?
Dun, dun, dun.
Talking about boomerang talent. Do you know anything about boomerang talent?
I'm sort of vaguely recollecting. Maybe he's coming back to me.
Like that one. It's a subject that keeps coming up on my feed, actually. Probably following on from, well, we've got great resignations.
Yeah.
Quiet quitting.
Mm-hmm.
The great negotiation, renegotiation.
Which
goes back up there. But we tied into that a little bit, actually.
Yeah.
But what we're going to talk about is people who leave a company, or in fact, we're going to look at leaders as well, aren't we? Or a leader, go away and end up coming back. And we're going to look at pros, cons, things to consider, perspectives. And it might be that you watching in or listening in right now is a boomerang employee. It might be that you are considering taking someone back that left. Mm-hmm. It might be that actually you've learned from your mistakes either side, you know, letting someone go that you shouldn't let go, bringing someone back that maybe you shouldn't let come back into the organisation. Always an interesting topic, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Interesting little addition from that. Let's look at that from a reverse angle.
Okay.
You've just taken somebody on.
Yeah.
So you're being boomerang. You're at the apex of the boomerang.
Oh, okay. Yeah? I like that.
Yeah.
The concept has kind of crossed my mind a few times because I've often had colleagues that I've worked with that have left and come back.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've even had friends, family, you know, people that have been working in alongside me in a sector and they've left and there's been this big leaving party and then 3 months later they're back. And it's a bit of an awkward...
Awkward!
Yeah. Can I have a gift back now, please? Yeah. But joking aside, it is an interesting thing to think about because we definitely saw... I mean, I brought some stats up because you know like my stats.
Mm-hmm.
As it happens in 2021, which is the last time that there was a major study done on this, boomerang employees accounted for 4.5% of all new hires. And that was up from 3.9% in 2019. And I also found that 43% of people who quit their jobs during the pandemic, because we know that was quite prevalent, admit they actually thought they were better off where they were.
43%?
Yes. So the people who left and said, screw this, I've actually, you know, nearly half of them have said, actually, I think I was better off where I was in the first place. And I mean, I guess a lot of that goes back to perspective. We spoke about this a few times, you know, people's lives were really put in check and they probably saw things slightly differently back then. And actually, what was interesting about this is that 40% of workers would actually consider going back to a company where they once worked. So that's probably, you know, a lot of the people you meet, if you were to talk to them about a good experience they had at a previous employer or, you know, I guess the environment they were in, that they would consider that. But interestingly, it said that a lot of the time when they've considered it, the former employees didn't have a good enough strategy in place to encourage them to go back. So they might have had this fleeting moment of, remember that time? Remember that amazing leader? And then there's nothing to allow them that easy transition back in. Mm. Yeah, it's just interesting, isn't it, to think
when
about
you,
it from
when you start talking about an interest, sort of an easing back in, a transition, sort of transitional period to go back into where you were from. Not sure whether there are any of your sort of your info in there. But I was reading a thing about Deloitte's.
Mm.
So when people are leaving, as part of their sort of leaving ritual,
okay.
If you want to call it that, it's probably got a better... If I read the
like
article...
Like an exit interview type thing.
Yeah. Kind of like but when they leave, what they do is they're automatically enrolled on the alumni scheme.
Yes, and it does refer to that on here, actually.
Right, okay.
Study.
So just for the sake of our dear listeners and subscribers, I love you. Subscriber, I love you.
And if you haven't subscribed, subscribe now.
Yeah. He would be just sort of saying that these people, they're away, but there's 20,000, 30,000 people on this alumni thing.
Mad.
And it's like another community. So you never really leave.
Yeah.
You leave, but you're, so the thing is, when they're networking, it's not necessarily just networking for Deloitte's. It's networking for where they are now. But the thing is, they usually sort of
cross the same paths.
There's a reason why we employed you, and I mean, we've all got different reasons for leaving an employer.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a multitude of reasons. And I mean, it's a lovely situation to be in. I can say this from both being an employee and being a leader in a business. I love nothing more, and this probably sounds a bit counterintuitive actually, when someone who's worked for me and done a really great job and has outgrown their role and we have nothing left to offer them, I'm the first to have that honest conversation and say, how can I help you out with this organisation? So I would then use my network to say, I highly recommend these people that I've worked for, these organisations, and I wish you well. So when they leave, it is done under those terms where you're part of the network, you're always a member of the team. I know that sounds a bit cheesy, but that's kind of how it feels.
Yeah, but the thing is, what's the alternative to that? The alternative to that is your godfather figure. You're dead to me.
But that's how it ends up, isn't it?
But that's the thing, isn't it? And do you want to go back to a place where people have said that? No. But when you look at when you do what you say you've just done,
totally trashing the place. Sorry, Tom.
People say, "Well, yes, there was a leader in an organisation, and of course that leader works for that organisation."
Yeah.
But their intentions for me were honourable.
Yes. Yeah.
And. When we start talking about, people don't leave bad organisations, they leave poor leaders or poor managers.
Sometimes.
Well, so actually, but they come back to good managers.
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing to reflect good on leaders. Because you can find a good leader in a bad organisation and stay for that leader. Mm. Or you can have a really great organisation and have a bad leader and actually hang around just a little bit too long for your mental health sometimes because you like the people you work with. And particularly middle managers, I think I hear that a lot. I don't know about you, but people who do struggle with the C-suite relationship and maybe the vision of the company, but because they're so kind of, I don't know, they feel so much for their people, if you like, they probably hang on longer than they should because they care about people underneath them as well. So I think there's a lot to be said about kind of having that gut instinct for how people are, you know, feeling in an organisation, about psychological safety and all those things. But I think, as I said, the gold standard is someone serves you well, does great work, you wish them on their way and you try and encourage them to stay part of that network, that extended family, knowing that who's to know, like two layers up from that in 2 years' time, a job might be perfect that, you know, springs to mind and you go, the first person you think of is that person. It's all ended really well. And actually, you're still in contact. You've maybe got some sort of mentorship kind of experience still going on there to a degree. That's definitely something I can refer back to as a leader. I've got so many people that if someone mentions a role, I go straight to that person. It doesn't matter where they are now. Mm. Everything's always been in good terms and I would remember that person with joy, if you like. Mm. However, we have to say as well that this doesn't always work the same way because quite a lot of people, it's not the, you did to me, from the leader, it's from the worker because maybe a line's been crossed and they just cut all ties or they leave in a ball of flames or, you know, HR-related issue, whatever it might be. And I guess that's maybe another crossover point, isn't it?
Mm.
How do we then start coming? Because that could be awkward. You know, if you've left under a certain leader and there's been an expectation of how you transist out of the business and it's not gone so well, and then you reapply for another role, that could be a bit of a tricky one, right? Hmm. So just be good to recognise some of these things today.
I think a great influence on me, Paula. You know who you are, Paula.
I've heard a lot about you, Paula.
A great influence on me always said, has anything changed? Mm. So when we start thinking about people coming back into a business, has anything changed in the business since you've left? Has anything changed in you since you've left? So there's two different things. Because the thing is, it might be that the business that you've left hasn't changed, but you come back with a little bit of, you know what, I perceived it as this and it wasn't that. Or it might be a bit of humility. I mean, it does depend on what it is that...
Yeah.
That why you left and how you left. But if you come back with a bit of humility and sort of say, you know what, I could have dealt with that a lot better. But and possibly a couple of explanations and
growth, isn't it?
Growth, yeah. And it's that. I mean, everybody's got 20/20 hindsight, haven't they?
Mm.
But how long?
Literally 20/20.
What's that gap? What's that gap? That space? Because if it's 3 months, everything's still a little bit raw.
Yeah.
If he's 18 months, then there might be a little bit of residual sort of what's the sort of, have we got any idea of some of the time frames and some of the statistics that you've got?
I haven't seen anything that's kind of more like that's really solid, but a lot of people within 2 years tend to find, but there's a lot of people like say from 2020 are already, have I already gone back or would think about going back if the door was opened. But of course that opens the question to pride and all those things as well.
Yeah.
But I think you've got a really good point. I think perspective is a big thing. I mean, if I think about jobs that I was in my younger years when I thought things were tough and I was being treated unfairly, I really wasn't. It's just, it was my worldview at that time.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And then there was probably certain situations where I saw things from a personal perspective because I didn't have the maturity or the executive presence to handle it in a certain way. I could definitely look back now and say, you know, I would have dealt with that differently now, or I would have saw that leader is different now. And I think you're right. I think the honesty part of it is really important. But I guess that then leads you into that conversation around, you know, why you want to go back in the first place. So going back to that, what's changed? So some stuff I wrote down here was, you know, if people were thinking about going back, it's probably because they've had a positive experience in the first place, or what they considered to be not a positive experience previously, they've realised it was. So it's the grass is greener sometimes.
Yeah, that's a really interesting thing. I mean, when we start talking about sense of purpose, and I know this is a slight sort of departure, but when we start thinking about sense of purpose and we start talking about what's driving you through life?
Yeah.
Are you moving towards something that you want?
Yeah.
Or away from something that you don't want? So if you're in a place, working for an employer, working in an organisation, which is all right, you know, maybe...
A bit beige.
You're not getting nurtured. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're not getting as much nurturing as you would like, but hey, this shiny thing over here. Or if you're not getting nurtured, but somebody from a similar sort of discipline sticks their head over the fence and goes, you enjoying your job? It's all right. Do you want to come and work for me? I'll give you £5 extra an hour and 2 days extra holiday, and maybe there's a promotion.
And a
beanbag
and free coffee.
Your sort of thing. It's not that I don't like this place. Mm. It's that seems really shiny.
Yeah.
So you're moving towards something that you want. If you've got a team member or a colleague or somebody you work with that you don't like and you don't get on and there's a big personality clash, it's not a case of I want to go over there, it's I just don't want to be here.
Yeah, I can't deal with this and I need my own... I need to be kind of in a good place personally to actually do a good job.
So this might actually be a useful thing for somebody who's considering... Mm. Not necessarily considering being a boomerang employee, but considering either leaving a place of work or going somewhere else.
Absolutely.
Is right. So what is my motivation towards this? Is it because I want that or is it because I don't want that?
Yeah, and either side, you've got to think it through carefully, haven't you? Because, you know, the grass is greener is always, an expression that's used a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think we've probably all been in our careers, we've probably all made a decision that we go, actually, I was probably better off where I was, even if it was short term. So it's worthwhile thinking about that.
Yeah.
But all the other reasons that people might come back, let's just, because a couple tie into what you just said there, professional growth. So they can go to the grass is greener, but then when they get there, the job's okay. But actually what they've realised is there's no space to grow in that organisation. They might have had this really great job offer initially, and then they look at what they invest in their people and side-to-side movement as well as upstairs movement, and they don't see any difference. The attractive benefits and perks, quite often when people go to a new job, they're teased in by a new salary. Mm. And you do your maths on that in the short term, don't you? And you go, ooh, how much more of that is that a month to me? That's how you think about it. That's a lot of money. You don't always think about the fact that because you've maybe gone to the top of that pay band for what they can offer you at that time, it might actually mean your pay doesn't increase that much in the future, as well as it could be. But also quite often, I've certainly had this before where I've gone into a job and because I've been taken in the top of a pay band, it's kind of held against me a little bit. Mm. There's an expectation that I've got to be at the top of my game all the time. And I'm just going to say some leaders do that. They'll hold that over you because there's that expectation of what they've managed to dip into the pot for. So initially, you might think it sounds like there's good attractive benefits and finances there. But long term, you've got to consider, is that going to change? Are you still going to move at that same pace? I guess changes in personal circumstances is another thing, isn't it? So forces people as we are. We know how hard it is to pick your stuff up, move, try something else, etc., etc. When you're young and you don't have family to consider, it's quite easy to be someone who does what's required, moves around, takes a job in another city and all those things. And it might work one way or the other. It might be while you're young, you want to go out and move around and do those things. And then when you get a family, you might want to settle down. Or you might want to be, you might be someone who, I guess, quite similar to me, like I went into work very young, like you did. And I got to a point in my sort of early 30s where I was like, actually now, now is actually where I want to stick my roots down a bit. Got that bit out of the way, and then I went back out again. So everyone hits a different point in their life.
Yeah.
And sometimes that job doesn't seem right at the time, but in the long term, it may be. So that's one thing. Yeah. One thing I put down here was company reputation as well. It's a big one. Mm-hmm. So you can be working for a big organization that has a decent reputation, and you move because the rules, it's not because of the company, but you move because this other job looks equivalent, if not better. Mm-hmm. And then you actually realise that the reputation of the company you've gone into is not actually that good. It's smoke and mirrors. And actually where you were, you can rely on that. Yeah. You've lived it and breathed it. So you go back into it as well. Yeah. Job market realities, things changing. And the last one I wanted to talk about was regret or unfinished business.
Ooh.
Oh, juicy. Juicy. Because I think most of us have probably been in a role where we feel like we didn't get a chance to expose, I guess, our strengths as much as we wanted to. We maybe didn't quite get that role we aimed for the first time. You maybe walk away as a more junior leader, and then actually in the future, I've certainly reflected on a lot of the roles I've had and thought what difference it would have made to have this level of maturity back, you know, in that role back then, and what difference I would have made. I think for some people, you know, you leave because suddenly you've been given this big opportunity, and then you sit and think about it afterwards. You think, oh, I just feel like I didn't close all those boxes off. I didn't finish what I wanted to finish.
Yeah.
So a lot of these things here are reasons why people would ultimately leave or go back. That's the way to think of it.
Yeah.
Have I ever gone back to do something because of unfinished business? Yes. I was made redundant in COVID, as I've mentioned on podcasts before. The best thing that ever happened to me in the long term, trust me, because I'm here now. However, at the time, I made a vow to move out of a sector because I just had a bit of a sour taste in my mouth and all the rest of it. However, when someone approached me 6 months later with a big challenge and said, but you haven't finished this work, the first thing I did was spring back in there. And there was a couple of reasons for that. There was that feeling of unfinished business. I wanted to leave that sector on a high, and I've been thinking about, I've made a difference to this project. But there was also that comfort of knowing my network, knowing the people I could like leverage support from, and I knew I could do it with my eyes closed. But the downside to that was, for those 6 months, I don't think I really developed much.
Right.
I was in a very comfortable place. I was on fire, but I wasn't pushing myself, if that makes sense. I was doing a great job. So I went back probably for the right reasons at the time, which was I needed to remind myself of my superpowers. That's the way I see it. And it, of course, led to me coming here. But I did go back in reality for the wrong reasons, because I went back to think I can do that and it's easy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I really resonate with that regret or unfinished business bit. And I wonder if other people have maybe had a situation like that themselves.
They may very well have done. And I'm sure our listeners and subscribers, remember, I love you. our listeners and subscribers will get in touch, and I'm sure they'll fill us in a little bit and give us the benefit of their experience. So that's really interesting, because it's not cut and dried. When we start talking about the boomerang thing, it's not cut and dried. It's not one size fits all. It's, as you said there, there's a plethora of different reasons. I managed to squeeze
that
out on it.
Oh,
a plethora of different reasons why people can be sort of leaving an organisation or rejoining an organisation.
Yeah.
We've all got these different unconscious motivators. We've got all the different sense of purpose.
Yeah.
We're at different stages of life, whether that's personal life and professional life. So certain things are going to pop up and certain things aren't going to pop up.
Yeah.
If we can manage that correctly, then maybe these people who were they say, if you love something, set it free and allow it to come back to you. But this is the thing, is if they come back to you, Well, what are they bringing to the party? So, firstly, what's changed, as we said earlier on? Well, they may have changed. Yeah. The organisation may have changed. Well, there's many different capacities for change there. However, what are they bringing back that's new? So when we start talking about experiences and things like that and visions, and it doesn't have to be a huge thing, but it could be a case of I've seen this, maybe we can work with that.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing to consider if you are, because we're going to look at things from both perspectives, employee, employer, and I think there's loads and loads of advantages to taking people back into a role. But the first question you have got to ask is that, you know, what are they going to bring back that you've missed, or what are they going to bring back that you know is a missing, you know, essential part of your team, if you like, that you can rely on? And what are they built on? So if they left and they were really highly skilled, but maybe not as experienced as a leader, but they've gone away and had 3 years experience as a leader now, or they've gone and tried a different role that's involved bringing out different attributes, that they're bringing back experience. They're bringing back, you know, maybe even working at a competitor. I'm just going to get really like down to the nitty-gritty. They know the ins and outs. And maybe all they knew was your ecosystem. Now they've left and tried another ecosystem. They've got an understanding of different ones. And it gives them a unique perspective. So I guess the first question would be, yeah, what are they going to bring back in, like you say? The advantages are that it's going to cost you less to recruit someone like this, because they're going to come through a natural process if you've got it right. And obviously it makes it easy, and probably why it's quite often a quick choice for an employer, you know, because think of it this way. The amount of times I've been in a meeting room, you know, even here, like if we're thinking about a new recruit, we all always go to our network first and think, who do we know that we could approach? Not to give them a job, but to give them the opportunity to see if they wanted to come in to work for us. And it happens at every organization. Who do we know that could do X? So it makes it a lot swifter. Your onboarding process is going to be more efficient. So think about the average person takes 90 days to get them comfortable in an organization, up to 18 months to get them settled into the business. So there's a plus straight away. Generally more productive because they've seen and experienced your standard operating ways of working. They know who to go to ask for support. They just know the stakeholder kind of system in the business. They already know your culture. Now, that can be good or bad. If they have come in from the outside, they could be culture carriers now, because they're going to come in and say to anyone who's whinging, you don't know you've been bored. Where I was, it was, you know, equally, they can come back in, and if things have changed slightly, like you said, what's changed, then that can sometimes be a bit of an issue as well.
Yeah.
But the last thing I wrote down was they can bring a fresh outlook to your business.
Yeah.
Because they've gone out, experienced it, and come back in. And we know the power of embracing, you know, diversity and the way we see the world. And if many of us, particularly in organisations that retain their people, it's great because we've got less turnover. We've got, you know, sort of more solidity in our teams. Yeah. But the downside to that is we sometimes fall into groupthink. We all do things a set way. Someone going out and coming back in brings you that difference, doesn't it? So there's plenty of advantages to bringing people back in. But there's also some disadvantages, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've got to, when they left, because we talk about the change house, don't we?
We do, yeah.
When people are in the change house, they're going to be going through different rooms in the change house. If they're in the exit lounge, we've got to ask ourselves, are these people that we want to entice away from the exit lounge and back into the business?
Yeah.
Or are we going to hold the door open for them?
Yeah.
So did we hold the door open for them? And if so, why? I mean, we could talk about the productivity of that person and the professional capacity of that person.
Yeah.
But what behaviours do they bring?
Yeah.
Maybe they are very, very capable people, but they're a pain in the butt.
Yeah, that's a good way to break it down, actually. I like that. Did we hold the door open? And not sometimes not even in a bad way. Like I said, it could be duty of care to them. We get they're at the exit lounge. Some of the examples we use on the change workshop we do is, you know, you can have someone in a role and they're absolutely flourishing, in flow state, the lot. And then you change a procedure or something changes and categorically that job is no longer the same job. It's the job, but it's not the job. And all of a sudden someone realises they're not going to be working in their genius enough, and that's why they go to the exit lounge. It's not because they don't like the business or the culture, it's because fundamentally day-to-day their job is not the same and they're not going to enjoy it. For us as leaders, it's our job, like you said, to hold the door open in a positive way and say, hey, let me help you find something that's more suitable for you, even if it's outside the business. But for other people, we are holding the door open because we say, look, you know, there's nothing that we can do for you now. You've already made your decisions. We've tried to reroute your mindset and give you, I guess, reassurance that what you were saying about X is not true, whatever it might be. But we can tell by your, you know, the way that you are responding to things that you're not going to be happy in this role. And that's still a duty of care, isn't it? Because it's not just about the disruption. It's about the mental health of that person and, you know, being in drudgery, as that's the way they'd see it, all the time's not going to be good. So if they did leave under negative circumstances, we've got to put some consideration. I like the way that you put another frame on that earlier, though, because sometimes it was a different type of role, they were less experienced. So there's got to be a little bit of, how far do we go with that, though, Spence?
So for me, when you were just talking there, it just sort of brought to mind the opposite end of the boomerang.
Okay.
So they've left an organisation to go to another organisation.
Yes.
What if they're coming back to this organisation? Why did they leave the second organisation, number two?
Good point. Okay. Yeah.
So when we start thinking about that, we can start thinking about there's loads of different reasons. Many of the reasons that they left employer number one to go to employer number two sound like blind date now. Blind dates.
And there's our brain with a quick reminder.
So if they're leaving employee number two, employer number two, then why is that? And usually, as you sort of alluded to, grass is always greener. They get over there, you know what? It might be greener, but it's false. That's why it's greener. Whatever.
Like that.
Or whatever. Yeah. However, some of the things are that, and we've talked about this. We've been talking quite a lot recently about recruitment, retention, and things
we
like
have.
That.
Massive.
So one of the things that we tend to find is that when people are doing the recruiting, they're not necessarily the people who these people are going to be working with.
Yeah.
So if you're doing the recruiting and some questions come your way and you promise the earth.
Yes.
There might be explicit promises. There may be things that are implied. There may be things that are unspoken but assumed. Yeah. So we go, right, okay, then so I'm going to push the button. I'm going to leave my employer. I'm going to come to you. They come to them. They never see the people who recruited them again, but they go into an organisation. They start working with a team and the team are like, no, we don't do that.
You don't,
That's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen and you don't fit here. This is not how,
So now you're starting to think, this is when you start thinking, well, maybe I should have stayed where potentially stayed where I went. But this can take over, a period of time. This could be almost immediate. It could be a little thing that germinates over a period of time. So one of the things that I've considered is stay interviews. Rather than interviews where it was sort of, right, I'm going. Okay, so what do they call them? Exit interviews.
Makes it, that's if employers even do it, by the way.
But this is the thing, because I know so many employers
box,
that don't do it.
Yeah.
And then what do you do with that exit interview? Well, it goes into B1N.
Well, this is why it's annoying, because it should be essentially a positive experience. Even if you're leaving, it should be thank you for your service, or thank you for what you've done so far, we really appreciate it, or we're wishing you really well done on getting that big kick-ass job at the next company, because we're proud of you, we helped to get you there, we feel part of that journey. Instead, exit interviews are generally done very poorly, and it's a do we really want to know the answers to what you've got to say?
Well, that's experience. It.
And then people think, do I want to leave under bad terms? No, so I won't say anything. I'll just go, everything's great. I just want to go for more money or whatever it is. I won't tell you the truth. Or clear lower deck, I'm going to tell you everything that went on in this business. So I guess if you're going to go back to that one that said they left under negative circumstances, that could just be just the tip of the iceberg, where you've got them into the exit interview. They've offloaded 10 years of pain on you. And that's what what we're left with as employers and what's fed back to us from the team who've done that is you don't want to work that person because they're very negative. Now, there could have been very good reasons for that. So for me, that's why we do need to consider, you know, if they did leave under negative circumstances, why we didn't do that interview correctly. Because if we did a stay meeting or stay interview, what would that look like?
Well, that's the thing where if you do a stay interview as a matter of course, early on in their tenure, so they may have turned up and he's like, well, this isn't what was promised me. Or I was told this would happen, or I understood that this was part of the deal, or whatever it is. But then it can, if he's left, it can fester.
Well, yeah.
So over a period of 6 months, 8 months, maybe not even that long. So now it's a case of, you know what, this is just too much for me to deal with. I'm just going to go back to where I was. Whereas if on your onboarding, in your onboarding process, we have a sit down, right, is everything how you thought it would be? Because that's your opportunity to actually,
I
live in North Lincolnshire. I'm working in Hull now with you. I was under the impression that you were going to cover my bridge tolls.
Got you.
Okay, fair. And I'm not saying that you use the opportunity to grab as much as you can.
No, but did they live up to what they promised?
Yeah, if this is the thing, maybe, I mean, even with the stay interviews, maybe between the interview and say, right, I'm interested in you.
Yeah.
Maybe before you actually press the button on the new job, you have a little bit of a chat with your potential leader, manager, report.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk to them and sort of say, right, so I've got a couple of things that I'm assuming or blah, blah.
Yeah.
So
what's the reality of this role?
Yeah, the reality of the role. Mm. And then they come to you and you might sort of sit back and go, right, okay, these are the things I was expecting and I'm not getting. However, I wasn't expecting this and I'm getting that. Okay, in the balance of things, okay, fair enough.
And it is about your mindset, isn't it? Because you could be, if you're in a very hot, fiery situation where someone's put you into the exit lounge, or you know, you're not in a positive place, shall we say, you're going to make knee-jerk reaction decisions and then you're not going to do that weighing things up. So, you know, for a lot of people, they'll look at a job and go, right, there's a couple of things on there I don't really like about it, but for now I need to get that job, and then I'll go in and I'll kind of try and negotiate it, and then they'll be let down. Because where it says hybrid and you want remote, you then realise hybrid means 4 days in the office and 1 day at home, and then things are very different. So, and I think some of this might be why this is ended up as it is in terms of percentages right now, because I think many people did that. They went in and went, that sounds better, that's what I'm going to do. And then the reality is that the business changes. Businesses are in flux still since 2020. And then all of a sudden we've gone from fully remote, hybrid. And then it's like, we do recommend you come back in the office. And then you can't make me. Well, we can actually. Yeah. And there's that whole transition and of what was expected, and what you actually got. So I think you're absolutely right. It's like, what is the perception versus the reality? And can you get in early enough to try and hit that?
Yeah.
You know, because then that falls into part of the performance reviews, doesn't it? Yeah. Because your performance reviews isn't just about performance. It's about your development, your mindset. So if you've already set up a good thing within that first 90 days and you know where you're both at, you know, in that relationship, in that conversation, it's up to your job. Your job, really, I suppose, is to do a stay interview every quarter.
Yeah.
That's the best way to look at it, isn't it?
What we want to do is we want to take these misconceptions and things like that and nip them in the bud before they come on.
Yep.
Full on psychological contract violations.
Yes.
Because then when we get them, they're anchors.
There's nothing you
can
do.
So that's something you're always going to produce. Every time you think that you're in a certain way, if you're in that sort of mindset where you're going to sabotage something, it's a case of, but they don't do this. But you don't do that. So now you're starting to get... Yeah.
So, I mean... There's so many things in the equation there. The advantages are definitely there, but some of the disadvantages are things to look out for. Now, I'm going to look at this from both perspectives. I'm going to word it in such a way where if you're an employer, this is what to look for. But also, what I'd like people to do is consider this with your mindset if you're thinking about going back. Because if your employer's asking themselves this question, you should probably be doing the same thing. So here's a good one. Can you articulate clearly why you're returning to that business? Because if you can't articulate it in such a way where it's very compelling and convincing to yourself, how are you going to do that to an employer and authentically? So the employer needs to think, how do I question them in such a way where I'm going to root that out? Because if they are just coming because it's, you know, the job market's hot and there's slightly more salary and all those things, this could be just a warning sign that that's what they're going to do when the next big thing comes up.
Yeah.
So I would say for an employer, think about that. How do you kind of tease that out of people? And if you're an employee, ask yourself the same question. Are you going because it's knee-jerk reaction, hot job market, it's what's hot right now, I suppose, to quote a very famous song. And are you likely to think, well, if something else comes up in 18 months' time, I am going to move on? Or are you putting down roots? Now you've gone and come back. Is it because of what you missed and you're now very clear on what it is? And if it is, then great, that's a good reason to go back. Here's a really contentious one. If you're an employer right now and they want to come back, what about if they didn't perform the first time? What if they not a top performer? In actual fact, they kind of, not even just not in top performance, they just weren't right for that role.
So again, when we start thinking about what's changed, if they weren't a top performer then, but they are a performer now, how do you establish that?
Yeah, exactly.
How do you establish
what does good look like?
What their performing is? But also, what is their initial contact like? Because are they initially contacting you, or are they going into a sift? So you're going through things and go, hold on, I mean, they used to work here.
Yeah.
Or is it somebody who's phoned up and gone, you know what, last time I was there, I used to work with such and such. I know they've left the organisation now, and that was a big reason why I left.
Right, yeah.
Right, okay, so that manager, again, the perspective. But this is the thing, is you've got to sort of go, well, okay, so now what you're doing is you're blaming your low performance on somebody else.
Yes.
Now that person has left. What is going to fill me with confidence that that performance is going to change? And I think that with the language they use and the way that they talk, and I think their congruence or lack of it.
Mm. See what I did there? Oh, hey. Wow, that was the word of the day, people.
but if you can read, Dan, you're a leader, so you're going to be able to look at them and go, well, are they pushing the BS button, or are they actually, you know what, I made a mistake. Or this is the reason why I've matured a bit.
And because another thing is sometimes it's not the organisation, it's the role you were in. So we all know people have been moved into roles that they've just realised they're never going to be great at. Their attributes are not there, the skills are not there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, from an employer's perspective, think about this. In the long run, is it wiser to invest in someone that you can train up as a new hire that might have a stronger skill set?
Mm.
Or is this a case of someone can be nurtured, that maybe the role's slightly different now, maybe they've brought in a different set of skills, maybe they have gone away and got the expertise and come back.
Mm.
But one of the reasons that this happens quite often in organisations is people are liked in an organisation and they bring a certain je ne sais quoi to the organisation, but the skill set still never quite hit the mark. So it's a tough thing to say, because you could rely on that person, but it's a tale as old as time for people like you and I when we're talking to organisations. Great person, you know, average, but that's it. And that's all you're ever going to get. Yeah. So if you're going to bring someone back in my perspective, if the role is right for them and they can excel, that's right for you and right for them. But if they're going to come back in and coast, is that the right thing for you? Is it the right thing for you as an employee? Don't you want to find something that lights your fire? So I think about that. And then another thing to consider is, if they've been away from your company for a while, things will have changed, like you said. So actually, if they've been away for a few years and they come back in, they might recognise some stuff, but not all of it.
Yeah.
And actually, if the organisation has evolved significantly in that period of time, actually, that change curve, I know, although the gap in time has been big, for them coming back in, it might just be too much.
Mm-hmm.
So think of it this way, organisations that have gone a little bit more automated, etc.
Yeah.
If you've got someone coming back in where they had a whole plethora of people working with them to do all these different roles, and all of a sudden they come back into what they think is the same role, but essentially we've stripped a whole layer of people out and support, and they come back in and have got to do all that job, that's setting them up to fail because they weren't ready for that, you know. The other thing is that if they've been away for a few years, I think maybe they still had contact with certain people and they'll hear narrative from certain sides of the organisation. But if they've not been in it, they haven't experienced it. So maybe what they expect is not what they're going to get.
Yeah.
And same to you as an employee, you know, have you been in contact with this organization, or is it just someone you know at the business, but or the organization that's been feeding you this information? Because you're only going to get their perspective.
Yeah.
So if you're considering going back, have you done your due diligence as an employee to think, I can connect with a vision, mission, purpose, values, behaviors, and I can see that they're all still aligned with my values. That's great. And as an employer, what are the behaviors and what does this person expect? Like you said, what's the expectations in that role? And if that's the answers to that are all good, then these are all green flags.
Mm.
But the reality is that we've got to weigh this up, haven't we? Because we're in a... Well, we're battling for talent right now, aren't we? And I think it helps us to think about things on both sides as the employee and the employer as to how to get the best for ourselves from the organization's perspective as well. And, you know, if there's good due diligence in place, your company can really benefit from taking some boomerang members of staff back in. Mm-hmm. But we have to make sure that we're taking the right people back in and for the right reasons.
Yeah, sure. And I think you're gonna get an idea for that when you start talking about due diligence, when you're going on your interrogation of facts. Mm. So you're looking at their CV and you're looking at their application.
Yeah.
And then you see there is a pattern of short-term employment. Short to medium-term employment. Well, you've got to sort of weigh that up about, right, well, what are they bringing to the company?
Because definitely.
It might be that you're taking this person in and you're under no illusions that they are a boomerang habitual boomerang employee. However, what you're doing is you're bringing this person in to supercharge who you've got, to change things up, shake things up a bit. Mm. So the actual average tenure, I think mine was saying something about 6 to 8 years or something, his expectations.
Yeah.
That is not on your agenda. You have no expectations. You know this person's going to... It's a short-term thing. But what they bring in that short-term may very well affect your company for decades to come.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually, because it is literally about the shadow you cast for that period, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, are you going to be a culture carrier or are you going to be a disruptor and not in a good way?
Mm.
And I think that's the kind of questions that you need to ask yourself as the employer is like, what do you want right now? Do you want long term or, you know, do you want a short term fix with, you know, even potential for moving people swiftly through the ranks, for want of a better term? You know, some people want to come back in and just get a little bit of experience at this role over here, but really their objective is to end up in this role here. So if you're all very clear from the beginning, and I guess probably one of the most common boomerangs is people coming back. There was a person stuck in a role for a long period of time, and there was no way for them to reach the level they wanted to. So they had to leave the organization, and then this person retires or gets swept away somewhere, and they come straight back in.
Yeah.
And for a leader in an organization, if they've done everything right and they've you know, kept contact and good relationships with these people, they know that it wasn't the organization's fault, really, that person couldn't. So actually, that's another example of people with long tenure have to wait long periods of time to get promoted. Like, if they only want to go this way and there's a gap, you know, somebody here that's not going to leave for another 15 years, then you've got to either provide side-to-side coverage or you've got to give them the opportunity to come back out and back into the organization. Yeah. That's a good reason to let someone boomerang. But as you said, I mean, the what did they teach me when I left the Navy? Don't ever have a CV that looks like it's more than 2 pages, which, let's be honest, is probably a little bit rubbish now because we're a little bit more lenient these days of people getting a bit of experience in different areas.
Sure.
But I think you're right. There can be some patterns that you can see emerging. And then that's when you'd start to ask a question. Is it right for me to bring this person in?
Sure.
Because we haven't got time to retrain and do it again and do it again.
Again, not criticising it or saying it's a bad thing, but I think you've got to be honest. And the questions you were saying as an employer, we've got to ask these questions. I think you've got to ask exactly the same questions of yourself as the employee.
Absolutely.
And we've got to have those grown up thought processes where we go, right, so is this a quick fix? Why am I leaving? Is it because I want that or because I don't want that?
Yeah.
What is it that I'm hoping to achieve? The organisation is looking at you going, well, what are you going to bring to the party? What are our expectations? What are your expectations of us? What are our expectations of you? And when all this is all out there, well, actually, you know what? I've not got any intention of boomeranging back to them, But one of the things that might do that is my expectations aren't met, or my what we talked about. So yeah, I think having open, honest, grown-up conversations, laying it all out there. What am I bringing to the party? Has anything changed on my way back? Have I gone out there and learned something new and now I'm bringing it back into the organisation? I've got an idea about a certain little bit of facts and figures about this. What can I bring into it?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Open, it's good to be objective with it. And I think it ties into something that we've been doing a lot of work with several of our partners on recently around talent recruitment. Assessment centres has been a big thing for us. Keeping it really objective as well. So, you know, quite often it's known out there that, you know, if you've worked there before or you know someone, you'll get a quick flyer in the recruitment process. And I think another good way to do this is just to keep it all above board and professional and middle of the road. You know, if people want to come back, then great. Have a really great conversation with them. You know, go through all those questions. Make sure they're coming back for the right reasons. Put them through the same process as you're putting everyone else through. There might be certain things that you can hop, skip, jump because they've maybe done that depending on the tenure of how long they've been away and things like that. But for me, it's about keeping it objective. It's just like when you're going through a recruitment process or a promotion process. You want to keep it all kind of unbiased, objective, and allows space for people to all have the same opportunity, you know. And I think if you can do that, I think most of the time that'll keep everything, you know, on a level. People will have to, this is a thing, should someone have to work hard to come back? Well, I think they should. You know, if they've gone away and come back, I'm not saying making it unobtainable, but if they really want to come back, they'll go through the process and they'll show you what they're made of.
Yeah.
And for me, I think one of the biggest things that I would recommend leaders to do is to think about, are the reasons the right reasons? And put them to the test when they're coming back into the system. And
put them to the test, not put them to the sword.
Yes, absolutely. Great conversation, Spence.
As always, Tracy.
And hopefully we can see what emerges in 2024 and we'll work out what other toy or equipment that we can link into something around talent. So it's boomerang this year. I don't know what next year might be, yo-yo, something like that. We'll just see how
we're just talking about general kids' toys. Stretch Armstrong employee.
Jack in the box. That's the ones that shock you.
So we're actually relying on our subscribers and our listeners. So hit us up with some of the comments on these things. What are your thoughts on these? On the subjects that we talk about?
Are you a boomerang?
Are you a boomerang? Yeah. Are you a habitual boomerangist? I don't know. But what are your thoughts on this? If you're an employer that this has happened to, what are your thoughts on it? So hit us up. Let us know. Whether it's comments on the video or whether it's emails to us at t2.co.uk.com.
.com.
Yeah. However you want to do it. But let us know, because we'd love to come back at a wrap-up at some stage in the future where we can take some of the comments we've had from some of the podcasts, chuck it in, and we can review some of the things that we talk about.
Definitely.
So, yeah, you have a responsibility.
You have a responsibility. We want to hear from you if you're a boomeranger. Thank you very much, guys. We will see you again soon for another T2 podcast.